Hi, welcome to Colonial Williamsburg, past and present, on history.org. This is Behind the Scenes, where you meet the people who work here. That's my job. I'm Lloyd Dobbins, and mostly I ask questions. This time, I'm asking Kristen Spivey at Colonial Williamsburg. She's a manager in public history development, particularly in children's programming, I guess. I mean, it seems
That's
to be...
correct.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
What have you got? For
what have we got?
Yes.
We have got so many things. Williamsburg is a wonderful place for children, and particularly at Christmas time, even though Christmas in the 18th century was not the same as it is today, the children were still excited, and we want them to continue to be excited mm-hmm. in the 21st century about what was happening in the 18th century. So we have developed kids' holiday weekends.
Okay.
There are three weekends in December that we specifically schedule programming in various venues for kids and their families. And the weekends this year are December 9th and 10th, 16th and 17th, and 30th and 31st. We have programming throughout the day and throughout the city.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much, in fact, that people really will be tempted, and we hope will succumb to staying over the full weekend.
Mm-hmm. Give me an example.
Well, let's start first thing in the morning. A warm way to start the day. It's a very short program. It's done in two different places. On Saturday mornings, it's done in the east stable yard of the governor's palace. And our wheelwrights light a fire using flint and steel.
Oh,
and people okay. just love to see those sparks fly. It starts the fire up, and it is indeed a way to start the day warm. In fact, the program started because the wheelwrights have always graciously prepared a fire for the interpreter who is stationed at the gate to keep them warm. So not only is it a program, but it's a way of one part of the foundation, the trades department, helping out another part of the foundation, the orientation interpreters who man our gates and buildings.
Who otherwise would be standing out there cold as they could be.
Exactly, yes. And then we also offer the program again on Sunday mornings. And in that case, it goes to the magazine and essentially does the same thing. But throughout the day, you might even find them putting a pot or something on that fire to show what a soldier had to put up with. Out
okay.
in the field.
Right. If you've got a pot, you must have some food in it, so it couldn't be so bad.
Right, exactly. One hopes that it was sufficient, though we do know historically that many times it wasn't.
No, well, on the other hand, it wasn't too terribly bad.
No,
when
not
I, well, I mean, what I've read, I obviously was not there then, despite my age. Give me another...
Well, let's move on through the day a little bit and go to the other end of town. And we have the Powell House. And we have dancing at the Powell in preparation for a wedding. So we are combining the skills of several different interpreters in this case. The dancing mistress, Marcy Wright, takes her volunteer dancers down to the Powell House and has participatory dancing. Not only do her kids become involved, but also the volunteer children at the Powell and our guests.
Okay,
they all join together.
Historical precedent includes children dancing?
Absolutely. Children learned from a young age to dance. And it's not that they would have been invited to the balls, but you have to start young in order to learn well. So a girl, for instance, might attend her first ball at the age of 15 or 16. Same for a boy. But before that, you don't go to a ball to learn to dance. You go to a ball to show off your dancing.
Oh, okay.
Therefore, you need to know it before you get there.
Yeah, big, big difference in attitude.
Yes.
Did you say 15, 16?
Yes.
Okay. When did this girl start to learn?
She would probably have been about nine,
okay.
maybe nine or ten. Now, that doesn't mean that she wouldn't have seen it before that, because families were large, and older siblings might well have been learning before then. So she was allowed to watch beforehand and maybe pick up some of the rudiments at that point. But the beginning actually started much earlier than that. At 5 or 6, they might learn the simple art of a courtesy, what we think of as a curtsy today. Mm. And the young boys were learning to bow, certainly as soon as they were breached at the age of 5 or 6.
So that's that. People see balls and they never think about what was involved in getting there.
Oh, yes.
Years and years of study and practice. And
you wouldn't dare step onto a dance floor to do the minuet, for instance. And there were, we say, the minuet. In fact, there were a whole variety of minuets. And they were a performance, because they were done by one or two couples at a time, and everyone else in attendance stood around and watched. And it was a matter of getting your, you know, hoping your partner knows the dance, and then making sure you're both following the same signals.
It would be rather intimidating to be 18 other people standing around staring at you.
Absolutely.
And noticing every mistake you made.
Quite so.
Okay, let's go back to the kids, which I got away from as I got interested in the dance. Take me through the day. They're dancing now at the Powell House.
Yes. But, you know, actually, there's work that's done during the holiday season as well, and we can't forget that, because there were many things done in preparation for the coming winter. And one of those things is a program that's only offered one day during December. But on December 9th, we have our Hog to Ham program, and my subtitle for this is Everything But the Squeal, because it truly does go through the entire process of preparing hogs for food. We do not slaughter in front of guests, but we do butcher the entire process, cutting up the meats, the hams, rendering the lard, making the sausages. I have to tell you, one of the advantages of being a manager is that if I arrive at the right time, I might actually get a taste.
Oh, okay.
That's not something we can offer our guests, however, because the process that we go through, well, quite honestly, would probably turn many people's stomachs, but even though all of our cooks are certified by the Board of Health, they have to have a food handler's license, the food is not prepared under what one would think of as sanitary
modern sanitary conditions.
Exactly.
So you're doing 18th century, right, ham hog preparation.
Exactly.
Okay. Although somebody famous once said, if you care about sausage and law, you should not watch either one being made.
I think that is entirely correct, yes.
I don't think I'd like that.
No, some people don't. But we did find that many, many children are extremely interested in this.
I was about
they
to think.
They love the idea of how this stuff gets made. And so many of them today, my goodness, they don't know where peas come from.
Yeah.
You know, they don't know that there's a pod and you break it open and, oh, look, they're all in a row, peas in a pod. So that's what that means.
I was thinking, children love anything that's messy.
Oh, yes.
If it's messy, it's for them. So if you wanted a Christmas program for children, butchering hogs sounds like a perfectly valid Christmas program.
Yes, we finally convinced ourselves of that, because although the program has been done for many, many years, it's never been thought of as a children's program. But when we discovered how many children were interested, we decided that we might as well give in and go with what they liked.
Yeah.
And that's something we've done. We've learned over the years from the children themselves, and both our guests and our volunteers, because the children that we have who work here as volunteers have helped to develop programming We do have about three girls, I believe, who currently work as volunteers in the kitchens, in the 18th century kitchens. And there is nothing more exciting for children today than to see children of the past in costume, in a place that looks completely authentic, doing something completely authentic. And in fact, last year, I believe they combined a few things on this day, and so the girls who work in the kitchens were actually in charge of preparing a dish. It was theirs from beginning to end. They didn't do the butchering, but they did prepare a dish from beginning to end. And it tasted very good.
You, as a manager, you got a taste, didn't you?
You're right, I did. Yeah. I felt very fortunate.
What else that the children had a hand in developing that other children like? Got another program like that?
Well, our children are very adept at all of the 18th century games. And they have themselves found out some games, ones that we might not have thought of. Research was done, but then we sort of threw them aside. So the kids have gotten very good at developing games. And sometimes it's nothing more than what do you do with a stick? Certainly a slave child in the 18th century would not have had toys as such. But our kids have been able to take a stick and split it, put another stick through it, wrap a piece of vine around it, and you've got a doll. Make like a cross shape, but you put a vine around it, you've got a doll. And same with corn shuck dolls, which we know about, and we know they were done. But it's not the kind of thing that exists today as an artifact, because, of course, they're very temporary.
They don't last very long.
But we do know that such things were done. And we don't let the kids get away with just playing around, of course.
Yes.
We do have, at the same site where we have the Hog to Ham, the next two Saturdays that we offer this, the 16th and the 30th, we have the Christmas box. And this is not a physical box, but there was a custom at the time of giving a tip for services rendered throughout the year. And we still do it today. You might give a tip to your postman or to somebody who comes in to clean the house. You know, at Christmas you may give them something in an envelope sitting on the table waiting for them. In the 18th century, this was the Christmas box, and it was offered always from superior to inferior. So from parent to child, from master to slave, from master to apprentice. But it was always because of work that was performed. And so if children had learned their lessons well, they might receive something. It's not the gift giving that we have today where it's reciprocal. One person gives and the other person gives them something back. But the slave was the one who might receive money. They might receive extra food, perhaps a piece of clothing, but something that they don't have all year long. And it was certainly something they look forward to. It's funny, though, because many times, of course, someone might not see somebody at Christmas. So we find references to people giving their Christmas box as late as March. So when some people who visit relatives, you know, they might be with one part of the family at Thanksgiving and another part at Christmas, and then they get together for Easter. You might find somebody literally giving their Christmas box at early Easter.
Incidentally, if you're listening and you want to check this out so you can see the schedule, it will be on the website, www.history.org. This whole December thing is there, and you can get it. That's Colonial Williamsburg, past and present this time. Check history.org often. We'll post more for you to download and hear.